All right, guys, welcome to another crossover episode, this time of the Locked On Falcons and Locked On Steelers podcast. I am the host, Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, joined by Locked On Steelers host Tony Serino. We're going to be talking about this Week 5 matchup between the Falcons and Steelers on another crossover episode brought to you by MyBookie.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, it's Tony Serino from Locked On Steelers. It's great to talk to you again, Aaron. You know, I know you and I did a crossover back in July, kind of previewing this matchup. It's funny because back then, you know, we were both assuming that our teams were going to come out and have fast starts to the season and would be contenders this year. And instead, this kind of has the feel of a loser leaves town match. The loser of this team is going to have a very tough road to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. You're right, Tony. We sort of thought like, oh, the Steelers are going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. Falcons can be one of the best teams in the NFC. And, you know, we thought maybe this would be a preview of sort of maybe a potential postseason matchup. But I think for both of these teams, it's kind of it has similar stakes, though, because you're right. If, you know, either team loses this game, you know, maybe they can get another tie like the Steelers got in week one. But if either team loses this game, it's going to be a hard hole to sort of climb out of, particularly with the Falcons starting 1-4. You know, I think the fact that the Steelers got that tie in week one gives them a little bit more sort of a cushion moving forward. But with the, you know, we'll have to see because the Bengals are sort of taking that division by storm. And so I don't know if the Steelers can afford to fall behind too many games if they want to try to get into the back into the playoff hunt.
Yeah, and a loss to the Baltimore Ravens last week, which, you know, again, puts them back. I mean, you know, the tiebreakers are all messed up now because the Steelers have that tie. But, you know, just losing to the Baltimore Ravens, again, puts them a game back there. You know, the Browns no longer look like the sure thing win that they were. Of course, the Steelers tied the Browns in week one, and now, you know, they got Baker Mayfield coming to town in a couple weeks. The Steelers' schedule is so tough. You're absolutely right. This feels like a must win for the Steelers, and I'm sure in Atlanta it feels like a must win for the Falcons. I guess let's start on the offensive side for the Falcons. What are you looking for in this game when the Falcons have the ball?
Well, I'm looking for points. Basically, yeah. I think both of us sort of see this game probably in a similar way, where it's going to be a shootout. The Falcons have been in a couple of these last couple of games. They haven't gone their way against New Orleans and Cincinnati this past week. You know, they put together, you know, three straight games where they scored 30 points or more. Hopefully that can continue to a four straight game, because I think they're going to need to put up that many points if they want to be in a position to win this game, just because of the struggles on the defensive side of the ball. And I like the chances that the Falcons have going up against a Steeler defense that just has not really impressed me all year long. That was a topic that we discussed during the summer, where question marks about the Steeler defense and the secondary and whether or not they can match up with the speed that the Falcons have. And you know, we all know Julio Jones is one of the best players in the league. Calvin Ridley has really emerged as a dynamic weapon. The Falcons are hopeful that they're going to get Devontae Freeman back, so they'll be at full strength on the ground. So this will be the strongest looking Falcons offense that we'll see all year long, potentially, or at least the first of many weeks where we hopefully see the Falcons offense, you know, clicking. But it's one of those things where I think they'll have some exploitable matchups going up against the Steelers defense. We talked about in the past during the summer episode that, you know, the one thing that worries me with the Falcons is going up against a pretty solid Steelers front with those three D linemen and T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. I'm not as worried now as I was then, but the Falcons offensive line just quite hasn't played to the level that I expected going into the season. So I am a little bit concerned with that. But the other major issue that I'm, you know, that isn't necessarily dealing with the Falcons, it's just the fact that they've had, you know, these offensive outputs the last 3 weeks at home. The question is, will they be able to do the same thing on the road this weekend in a hostile environment at Heinz Field? And from what I understand, I haven't really necessarily been glued to the weather reports, but I understand there's going to be, you know, some storms in Pittsburgh this weekend. And so, you know, the Falcons sort of bristle at the whole notion of being this dome team, but the proof is in the pudding, and they're not as good in, you know, outside conditions as they are indoors. And so whether or not those sorts of variables sort of slow down this offense more so than actually the talent of the Steelers defense.
I'm interested to know from your perspective, right? So the Falcons came into this year coming off of a year where, you know, Steve Sarkisian takes over as the offensive coordinator. The Falcons last year had all these weapons, but just never put it together on the field. And then week one this year, it kind of felt like it was more of the same, where they had trouble in the red zone scoring points. And all of a sudden, these last couple of weeks, I mean, we've really seen huge offensive outputs from the Falcons. What's been the biggest change you've seen from this team? Is it adding a guy like Calvin Ridley, a third option for Matt Ryan? What's been the biggest turnaround for the Falcons this year offensively?
Yeah, I think, you know, Ridley is sort of the answer in a nutshell. One of the issues that the Falcons had in that week one game, in addition to the Eagles defensive line really controlling that game, was that they sort of became hyper-focused on feeding Julio Jones. He had 19 targets in that week one, and they just, in the weeks since, they've really done a good job spreading the ball around. You're seeing, you know, Logan Paulson had a touchdown this past week against Cincinnati. You know, you're getting guys that probably most of your listeners have never even heard of, like Marvin Hall getting opportunities. Ito Smith, their rookie, looks solid as a replacement for Devontae Freeman. So they're spreading the ball around, and what it's doing, I think, is making this offense really hard to defend, because what you want to do as a defensive coordinator is you want to go in there and, like, I know Julio Jones can beat me, and so I'm going to focus all my attention on keeping him contained, and I'll, you know, put my other linebackers and safeties and corners on islands against some of these other weapons and hope they take care of business. In the last couple of weeks, those guys haven't been able to take care of business, and so the Falcons then become this sort of juggernaut to a certain extent, because then all of a sudden, when you're focused on Calvin Ridley or Mohamed Sanu, then all of a sudden Julio Jones shows up and, you know, gets that conversion on a 3rd and 12 that's sort of a dagger to your chest and whatnot. So it just, the Falcons being able to spread the ball around just makes them really a very next to impossible offense to defend.
Yeah, it sounds like the kind of pick your poison offense that the Steelers, you know, aspire to have, but just haven't been able to put together at so many points. You know, it's going to be interesting watching this offense go up against the Steeler defense, because, you know, you mentioned it, this Steeler defense has just been poor all season long. And you saw it against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in week 2. And of course, since then, we've kind of figured out that Mahomes and the Kansas City offense is one of the best in the NFL. And so the 6 touchdowns that Mahomes put up, while not great for the Steeler defense, it hasn't been necessarily, you know, out of the norm for Mahomes and that team to put up big points. But, you know, like you said, this Falcons team has so many weapons. I have no idea how the Steelers are going to go about shutting down this Falcons team. It does feel like that there's going to be so many points for the Falcons to have in this game. The secondary for the Steelers is basically in shambles at this point. Terrell Edmonds has come in now and being used as more of a 2-deep safety alongside Sean Davis, because the Steelers don't trust in Joe Hayden to cover anyone one-on-one deep down the field. They certainly don't trust their other cornerbacks, whether it be Artie Burns or Cody Sensabaugh or whoever they may be. It's going to be Cam Sutton this week. The Steelers are kind of having this rotation on the outside opposite Joe Hayden because they can't find a corner that they like there. Hopefully they'll get Mike Hilton back this week. He's a slot corner. He's actually one of the better corners, on maybe the best corner on the football team at this point. But it just feels like the Falcons are going to have the field day with this secondary. And then, you know, you go to the front seven. I know the names on the front for the Steelers, as far as their defensive line, Stephon Tuitt, Cam Hayward, you know, these have been guys who have been good in the past, but boy, this season it's been tough to watch. Cam Hayward's not been himself. Stephon Tuitt, ton of potential there, but we just haven't seen it on the football field just yet. And then, you know, we talk about T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree, the pass rush. I thought Bud Dupree was fine against Baltimore. He's been better. T.J. Watt had a big week in week 1, but has kind of disappeared since then. He gets a lot of hustle sacks. He gets a lot of the sacks on plays that kind of go on too long, and he's around the quarterback on those plays. But boy, it's been a really tough season for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. If this team could hold the Falcons anywhere under 30, I think you got to think it's a massive success for them. Here's a stat for you. In the last 3 home games, the Steelers have given up 56 points, I believe, in the first quarter. Maybe it's the first half, but 56 points in the first half. The Steeler defense has been terrible to start games, and the offense has been even worse, and it's just allowed teams to get off to big starts. Have the Falcons gotten off to big starts this year? Have they been the kind of offense that kind of comes out and is you know, firing on all cylinders, or has it been more of a kind of, you know, as the game gets on, you know, they sort of pick it up as the game goes?
The last 2 weeks, they've gotten off to some pretty solid starts. And so that's going to be one of the things I'm curious to see if that can continue on the road, where, you know, typically, you know, the sort of the cliche is that you start fast at home and you start slow on the road. And so that hasn't necessarily been the case for the Falcons the last couple of years, going back to Kyle Shanahan last year with Steve Sarkisian. They were just sort of mediocre regardless of the venue last year. But I do wonder, like, earlier in Matt Ryan's career, that was a thing where he was so good at home, and then on the road he was just kind of middling. And I do wonder if that's going to be a thing moving forward. But I'm optimistic that it won't be, but that is going to be my big question. Is, you know, after three home games where the conditions are very favorable to the Falcons in a somewhat adverse situation in Pittsburgh, will they sort of still come out, you know, firing out of the gates as they've done the last couple of games? All right, guys, we got more to come on this podcast talking about this Falcons-Steelers matchup, including getting Tony's thoughts on what the Steelers may look like when they're on offense. Tony has a lot of answers. I have a lot of answers, but we don't have all the answers. And if you guys have all the answers, including who's going to win each week, by all means, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie. Trust me, the best bet you'll make this year. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is very easy to use. They have in-game live betting, over and under scores on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie has been slammed with new bettors lately and want to help you out by giving you a $25 free play if you deposit $100 or more after 7 p.m. Eastern. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. Go ahead, visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget the promo code LOCKEDON25 to get an extra $25 after you deposit after 7 p.m. It's up to you guys, but I definitely wait till after dinner and take that extra money. You play, you win, you get paid.
And then transitioning over to when the Falcons are on defense, I was listening back to your recap of this game, the Falcons and Bengals. It sounds like things aren't great in Atlanta when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. Which I'm in no position to talk here. I mean, the Steeler defense is in shambles at this point.
You don't know. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's going to be two potentially potent offenses against two non-potent, whatever the opposite word of potent. impotent, I guess, is the opposite defenses. I think the one positive I'll point out for the Falcons defense is that they were much better in the second half against Cincinnati than they were in the first half. Basically, Cincinnati could do whatever they want. They scored 28 points in the first half, and the Falcons defense basically was just there. They existed as the Bengals just moved the ball up and down the field. Their pass rush came alive in the second half. They started to make some plays in the secondary. They still made some mistakes, particularly towards the end of the game, that led to the Bengals getting that game-winning drive and getting points at the end to win it. But I think if that second-half defense shows up, then the Falcons will have an opportunity to at least look mildly competent against a potentially potent Steeler offense. And, you know, the big concern, I think, is the Steelers don't have the offensive line question marks that the Bengals have. And so it's going to be a lot harder for that pass rush to get going this week, particularly in light of injury news to Grady Jarrett, who was the only good D tackle on this team and the only good reliable presence on the interior. So they're going to be putting a lot on rookie Deidre Sanaat, a lot on Jack Crawford, a lot on Terrell McClain to sort of step up, going up against a Steeler rushing attack that I'm sure the Steelers would love to get James Conner going and use that maybe to facilitate their defense by running the football and keeping the Falcons offense off the field by controlling the ball. And I don't necessarily feel confident that without Grady Jarrett in the lineup, the Falcons are going to find any way to really stop them from doing that. And so it puts even more pressure on the offense to get off to that fast start, just so that, you know, if they can go up 14-0, that's going to take James Conner and the Steeler running game out of the equation at that point, and therefore it's going to take a lot of pressure off this defense.
Yeah, and that has been the recipe for success against the Steelers is teams have gotten out to big leads early. Again, it forces the Steelers to kind of throw, and we've seen what happened so far. The Steelers are 1-2-1 in those football games. I'm really going to be intrigued how this team, the Steelers, how they try to right the woes that have happened over the last couple weeks. This team has only scored one touchdown in 6 points essentially in the first quarter all year. They just have gotten off to the slowest starts you possibly can. They, and it's interesting because Are they too conservative? Are the scripted calls too conservative? You know, like you said, are they not getting out the running game going early enough? You know, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what's going wrong early on in the football games, but it is putting this team behind, because not only are they starting slowly, but they're also turning the ball over early in football games, which gives opposing offenses a good field position. Of course, good field position combined with the Steeler defense equals touchdowns, and we've seen that all season. This team has also really struggled. The Steelers have really struggled in the second half of football games. The last 2 weeks, they have not scored in the second half, and they won that game against Tampa Bay by scoring 30 points in the second quarter, essentially. It's going to be really interesting to watch if this team can play 60 minutes offensively. Of course, they have so many weapons, and the emergence of Juju this year as not just a number two to Antonio Brown, but as a real threat at wide receiver, one that defenses have to worry about, maybe not as much as Antonio Brown, but certainly when defenses are keying on Antonio Brown and kind of rolling coverage that way, Juju has been there to get the big yardage. But again, it hasn't happened over a 60-minute period just yet. And they've got Vance McDonald back at tight end, and he's been terrific. Of course, that Vance McDonald stiff arm, that was the only first quarter touchdown that this team has scored all year, right? It was that play. It took the stiff arm from hell to get this team a touchdown in the first quarter. And then James Conner in the running game. This team has given a lot of lip service to getting the running game started again and getting going. They had a big game in week one. Conner ran for 100+, but since then it's really been just shut down and non-existent. A lot of that has had to do with the fact that this team has been playing from behind, though. And so, I'm really going to be intrigued. You know, again, like you said, the Falcons defensively, there's points to be had here, and this should be another Chiefs Steelers like shootout. Given that these two offenses are very good and the two defenses that are going to be going out there have a lot of problems, and especially with the Falcons in the secondary. But the Steelers have had a lot of self-inflicted wounds this year. And I know a lot of Falcons fans are going to be worried about Antonio Brown and covering Antonio Brown. One of the most intriguing aspects of this season has been the Steelers' inability to get Antonio Brown going, even when he's open. There have been times this year where Ben and AB just haven't been on the same page as far as the route that AB is running or ball placement issues. Key third downs this season, not that Ben is forcing the ball to Antonio Brown, but when the play is there to be had, those two can't get on the same page. So that's another thing I'll be watching for this week as well. The Steeler offense has been maybe not as frustrating as the Steelers defense, but certainly has been very frustrating because unlike you talk about the Falcons and all the weapons that you have and on all the points you're scoring, it feels like the Steelers should have that kind of offense, but we just haven't seen it so far this year.
Well, the good thing is the old running joke I always say is if you're in a slump, play the Falcons and you'll break that slump. So we'll have to see what happens this weekend. You mentioned sort of Antonio Brown. I know he's obviously the name that people are going to be focused on this week. And I'll be curious to see what the Falcons do in terms of matching up with him and Juju Smith-Schuster, because I think Juju is the guy that I am much more concerned about going into this game, not because Antonio Brown isn't one of the greats in this league, but he's going to get his. You just know that. And it goes back to what I was saying with the Falcons offense, where you do wonder if these other guys, if Conner gets going, if Vance McDonald gets going, if Juju gets going, all of a sudden this Steeler offense becomes next to impossible to stop because everything's clicking on all cylinders. And one of the interesting wrinkles that the Falcons did last week against Cincinnati was that they had Robert Alford shadowing AJ Green for a good percentage of the game and moved Desmond Trufant to the slot to sort of cover Tyler Boyd. And Trufant did not perform particularly well, particularly late in the game going up against Boyd. Alford also had his lapses going up against Green. I'll be curious to sort of see. My expectation is the Falcons will do something similar. The question is going to be whether they'll put Trufant on Antonio Brown or Alford on Antonio Brown, with the other one following Juju into the slot as well. My expectation is I think Trufant probably is a better matchup for Antonio Brown, just because he tends to be a little bit more technical than Alford is, and with a route runner as precise and skillful as Antonio Brown is, I think you want to have a little bit more of a technical corner following him and putting Alford on Smith-Schuster in the slot, which is where Alford has done a much better job in the slot over the last couple of years. Trufant really hasn't gotten many opportunities to play in the slot the last couple of years, and that may have led to some of his struggles against Boyd this past week. So I think that's going to be an interesting wrinkle. And of course, if Vance McDonald is out there just, pile driving other human beings as he's done the last couple of weeks, I remember you were hyping up Vance McDonald going into the season. I've heard other Steeler fans hyping him up, and I was like, yeah, he's a talented guy, but I think this hype is a little, you know, ridiculous. And then watching him the last couple of games, I'm like, okay, I get why Steeler fans were very excited about what Vance McDonald's potential is going to be, and him going up against Devondre Campbell is going to be an interesting matchup as well. So the Falcons, I think, have the personnel to sort of hold their own against some of these Steelers weapons, but it's just a matter of whether or not they can execute. All right, guys, there's more to come where Tony and I will give our thoughts. But first, do you guys ever think about having that night out? You know, maybe you want to go out there, see your favorite band, head to the theater, or be there in person for a Falcons home game, cheering them on in the crowd. And with Vivid Seats, now you can. Now you can attend any concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play right now and download the Vivid Seats app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off of orders of $200 or more for you new customers when you sign up for Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Again, go download that app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON so that you can get $20 off your order of $200 or more as a new customer. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Now, I've been someone that has covered the Falcons for many years, and I've had a couple of rules that I live by in terms of providing you guys the best coverage here on the Locked On Falcons podcast. And one of those things is things are never as good as you think they are, nor are they ever as bad as you think you are. And that rule is something that applies to one of our newest partners, Loci. If you haven't heard that name before, now you have. Loci is an amazing company. I've never been a big bracelet guy, but this is going to be one that's going to change with their amazing message. And Loci also supports incredible causes. The Loci bracelets comes in all 32 NFL teams colors, part of their new game day collection. It holds water from the Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point on Earth. That makes it a daily reminder to keep balancing your life between the highs and lows. And I think this certainly applies to Falcon fans, given the current state of the team. This is an awesome message. It keeps me focused, and I think it will help you guys stay focused during the good and bad times in your life. Since Loci is a new friend of the show, they're offering an exclusive discount of 25% on all game day collection bracelets. Trust me, guys, this is a great deal that you want to take advantage of. Use the promo code FALCONS25 when checking out. Go to loci.com. That's LOKAI.com and use the promo code FALCONS25 to get 25% off any game day collection bracelet. You guys got to take advantage of this amazing deal.
And then let's finish up today and talk about just our predictions for this football game. How do you see Steelers Falcons playing out?
Well, I've been predicting the Falcons to win the last couple of games, and they haven't been able to do so. I predicted them to lose in week 2, and they won that game. So I feel like I need to pick the Steelers this week just to reverse the jinx. But I still feel comfortable with the Falcons winning, so I'll be honest rather than try to get the reverse jinx going. I will have the Falcons winning 35 to Steelers 31.
Wow. Yeah, so I'm also going to predict the Falcons win here. I just there's so many problems with the Steeler team offensively so far. You know, they've looked good at times, and they certainly look very good against Kansas City. And in the first half against Tampa Bay, they were very good in that game as well. But outside of that, this offense has real problems, and it's a slow starting offense that gets behind too early in games and then has to work itself out of it, but can't keep going for 60 minutes. And I just don't know how this Steeler defense is going to be able to stop Atlanta enough to let the Steeler offense kind of get its work its things out and start putting points on the board. I expect the Steelers are in for a bad loss here. I think the Steelers are going to give up 45 and you know, if they get it to 20, I'd be great. So I'm going to say 45-21 Falcons. I think this Steeler defense has just too many holes in it. The Falcons have not only do the Falcons have so many weapons, but they're also playing at a you know, they're scoring at a good clip right now, and I don't think the Steelers defense has anything right now that's gonna help them stop this Falcons offense. And then on the offensive side, like I said, it's just this team has so much to work out. You know, we talk about slow starts, like getting the ball to Antonio Brown. I mean, maybe they'll start by giving some easy wide receiver screens or underneath stuff to Antonio just to start getting it going. But that's not what this offense needs. This offense needs consistency and to put up points big in this game because, I don't see any way this team stops the Atlanta Falcons.
Interesting. Yeah, I think this is going to be a fun matchup. I think it's going to be a fun shootout. I'm trying to think of another way of saying it. But, yeah, just that's as simple as I can say it. I think it's going to be a fun game, and we'll sort of see which team can sort of get their season back on track and at least, you know, try to get things moving in a positive direction, you know, now that we're a month into the 2018 season.
Yeah, I mean, it's this certainly, you know, in wrestling terms, this is the whole loser leaves home match. I mean, it's loser goes home match. It feels like the loser of this game is just so far behind, both in the division and then even in the wild card race in the AFC. I just don't see any way the Steelers come out of 1-3-1. They've still got the Jaguars left on this schedule. They've still got the Patriots. They've got the Panthers. And there's just too many tough teams left for this team to try and dig its way out and get back to like a 10-5-1 from 1-3-1. It just I don't see any way of them doing it. It's a huge matchup, but again, I just don't think this team, as it is equipped right now, is going to be able to take on the high-powered Atlanta Falcons offense. All right, Aaron, let people know where they can find your work on the internet.
I am at FalcFans on Twitter. Of course, I am the host of Locked On Falcons. You can find that show's Twitter handle at Locked On Falcons. Send in your comments and questions and whatnot related to the Falcons, and we're going to be coming at later this week, talking more Falcons Steelers, as well as sort of giving our thoughts on what happened on, my thoughts on the All-22 from that Falcons Bengals game.
All right. If you want to find more of my work at Steeler Country on Twitter, remember to follow Locked On Steelers, search Locked On Steelers on iTunes, Google Podcast, Stitcher, hit that subscribe button and you'll get your daily dose. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this was good. See you.
All right. Another crossover in the books. Appreciate Tony for joining me on this episode. Tomorrow we will do a Q&A, as well as Friday we'll have a fan talk. Looking forward to that, getting thoughts on that. Before we duck out of here, the Falcons made a roster move in light of the Grady Jarrett injury that may or may not, that probably will keep him out. They wouldn't have made the move if they thought he was going to play this weekend, basically. If you're reading between the lines. And the question is going to be, is this a one-week injury or is this a two- or three-week injury? And Grady Jarrett injured his ankle, took a shot from, our favorite safety, Dirty DeMonte Casey, on a screen pass to Alex Erickson or something like that in the second or third quarter, and did come back into the game. It just wasn't the same guy. And the Falcons pick up Michael Bennett. No, not that Michael Bennett. The other Michael Bennett, formerly out of Ohio State, was a sixth-round pick, I believe, in 2016, 2015. I can't remember. I want to say 2015. A sixth-round pick in 2015 by the Jacksonville Jaguars, D-tackle. Another one of those short D-tackles, 6'1". I think it was like 285, 290 coming into the league. I was a big fan of his at Ohio State. I thought he was like a second, third round talent. And then when he fell to the sixth round, I was like, hey, but he had a pretty okay, from what I recall, rookie season in Jacksonville in one of those years under Gus Bradley when things weren't necessarily going great for the Jaguars defense. And in the years since, he's been dealing with injuries. I think he had a calf injury that kept him out for all of 2016 and a torn pec that kept him out for most of 2017. And, in that time since, the Jaguars' defensive line has undergone, the emergence of guys like Ngakoue, the addition of not only Malik Jackson, but also Calais Campbell, et cetera. And basically, each year, Michael Bennett got pushed further and further down the depth chart, and to the point where they wound up cutting him because they felt that he was expendable going into the season. So, I'm not necessarily expecting him to pay huge dividends. They cut Justin Zimmer to make room for Michael Bennett. I do expect Bennett to play this weekend just because we saw Zimmer play 2 weeks ago when there were injuries there at the D-tackle position and with Jarrett out. We'll get to see Bennett. I'm not, I've already been burned once by Stephen Means not necessarily living up to my expectations. You know, Means did play better this past weekend. I will say that against the Bengals, but you know, I'm not necessarily expecting Bennett to play at a really high level. And as I said, I think this is going to be very problematic for the Falcons. All their key players get hurt. You know, we talked about the backbone of the Falcons defense being Neil, Jones, and Jarrett. And if Jarrett misses anything more than one game, that's going to be very problematic for this defense. So even though earlier this week I sounded a little bit more optimistic about this defense being able to turn things around, it's going to be a problem if Jarrett's not there. It really is. It, you know, I've been hearing people saying, like, maybe Grady Jarrett's not that good. Maybe he's overrated. All those sorts of things this past week. You know, rewatching the film of that game, Jarrett was killing it, man. He was killing it in that game. He just wasn't making the big splash sack plays that, you know, people wanted to see from him, in large part because he was hurt when the Falcons pass rush started to come alive. But yeah, if he's missing, it's going to be a problem. So, that's it, guys, for tomorrow's Q&A. If you want to send in your questions, you can do so on Twitter. I'm at FalcFans. The show's Twitter handle is Locked On Falcons. It's just easier to send your questions that way. So I get them, as well as on Facebook at Locked On Falcons. That's another great place to submit questions. You can also email me at LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. And you can leave a comment at FalcFans.com, where the podcast is posted daily. So, until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.